Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to tonight's discussion. My name is Kevin Featherstone, and I'm the director of the Hellenic Observatory here at the LSE. Tonight's discussion is hosted by the LSE's Hellenic Observatory, but also in collaboration with the 89 Initiative. I'm delighted to welcome the president of the 89 Initiative, Michael Kotakis, here on the front row. The 89 Initiative was actually born at the LSE a few years ago, and its aim is to mobilize young people to think about the future of Europe and to try to insert a new policy dynamism into discussions about the future of Europe. And the 89 Initiative has a number of regional branches covering Europe, many different countries. So we're pleased to be hosting this, the Hellenic Observatory, with the 89 Initiative. And I'm very pleased to be chairing and introducing tonight's discussion. Clearly an important discussion, given the number of people here this evening. Brain gain, an exciting future for Greece. We want to explore questions of entrepreneurialism, entrepreneurship within Greek society, and how entrepreneurship can be encouraged in the future, but also how Greece can encourage those who have left the country to return to Greece to help in the rebuilding of the economy post-crisis. If I remember correctly, the estimates between 2008 and 2016 are that something of the order of 420,000 Greeks left to find work abroad. Now, that, of course, is not a net figure, but nevertheless, no modern developed economy can easily thrive, can achieve its full potential with that kind of number of its most mobile, often the most talented people leaving the country to find either better salaries or better opportunities outside Greece. So as Greece comes out of the crisis, it's of course very important for the country to think about how it can mobilize all its talents, or as many as possible, in order to try to engineer a more dynamic, competitive society with opportunities for all. I'm very pleased to be introducing our panel this evening. We have a very nice diversity of expertise and of careers. Let me introduce our speakers in the order that they will be speaking. Dr. Angeliki Kosmopoulou is the Executive Director of the A.C. Laskarides Foundation. She's had a broad educational background in archaeology and in management, with an MBA from Leicester University. She's worked in academia, cultural management, and communications. She's served as Special Advisor to the Speaker of the Hellenic Parliament and to the Minister of Culture. She's a member of the board of the People's Trust and vice president of the Greek National Tourism Organization. Angeliki is a mentor for women in public life as well as for new entrepreneurs. Our second speaker is Angela Staffi, who is the chief executive officer of Reload Greece, which is a London-based educational charity building a new generation of entrepreneurs to create innovative ventures in their home countries. Angela has more than 15 years of experience working in financial services for many different companies. She has experience in scaling up businesses, creating new products and revenue streams. She is a member of the 100 Women in Finance Club. She is a 2019 Executive MBA graduate from the London Business School, another organization in London. She has a focus on entrepreneurship, strategy, technology and innovation. Last but not least, Konstantinos Kyrianakis is a member of the Hellenic Parliament since this July. He's a graduate of the European School of Brussels, the University of Athens, the American College of Greece. Konstantinos has worked as a digital strategist since 2008. In 2013, he was elected president of the Youth of the European People's Party, Europe's largest political youth organization, with over a million members from 40 different countries, and he was re-elected to that position in 2015. Konstantinos is a member of the International Republican Institute, and perhaps most relevantly for this evening, he co-founded Brain Gain, an initiative aiming at reversing brain drain for Greece, and Forbes magazine nominated and selected Konstantinos in the 30 under 30 list for the year 2016. I think if I remember correctly, in 2016, I was not actually eligible to be part of that list. And anyway, those under the age of 30. So we look forward to the presentations. We've invited our speakers to make opening presentations of about 10 minutes each. We'll then make sure there's plenty of time for questions from the audience. I should say that tonight's discussion is being recorded. You can see that there are cameras here. It will be available to download as a podcast subsequently. You can also make your comments as the discussion proceeds by using the Twitter hashtag LSE Greece. What else? Nice, easy notation for you. We look forward to those particular comments. So, without further ado, can you please welcome our panel this evening? Angeliki, we haven't actually discussed whether you're speaking from there or from here.
I think I'm coming up there.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes, of course. And there's one of these things for you as well.
Well, I'll try to coordinate. Thank you very much for the very kind introduction. It's a great pleasure for me to be here representing the Athanasios Laskaridis Charitable Foundation. It is one of the supporters of the Hellenic Observatory. And as the first speaker, I would like to provide a brief overview of the phenomenon of brain drain in the beginning. So let's start with a drain in order to get us to things that we ought to do in order to reverse things. So we would term brain regain or brain gain the return to Greece of highly trained professionals who left the country in order to live and work in places where there were greater opportunities. And the main motivation for them in order to return back home would be radical changes in a variety of sectors in Greece. We tend to think of brain, I mean, we Greeks tend to think of brain drain as a Greek phenomenon alone, but we know that it is a European phenomenon, and there are several countries that think of it as one of the key problems in the past 20 years. So we see that intermobility is typical within several European countries, especially countries in the south. We tend to think of this as a westward migration. There are large population shifts coming out of this, emerging from this, and the top reasons to leave a country are differences in wages and living standards. This results in loss of talent to higher income countries in a rapidly aging population, because it's usually the younger generations that tend to leave, and those who stay behind are aging, obviously. And this is something that has a negative impact on innovation and economic growth. Now, if we look at things in Greece, as Professor Featherstone said, over 427,000 Greeks left the country between 2008 and 2016, and this is something that is still happening, although we do not have specific concrete numbers after that. 63% are men, 37% are women, and the ages are 31 and older. And interestingly, these people are mostly well-educated people, highly skilled, 9 out of 10 are university graduates. This is a first point of difference between what we have been witnessing in the past years with the past. This is not the first time in recent Greek history that we see Greeks leaving the country seeking better working conditions. But in previous years, it was mostly younger people and people with not as skilled people who were forced to leave the country to find any job. What we're witnessing now is that these are older people, people who most, in many cases, have, you know, a first and sometimes a second university degree, and are leaving the country at an age of relative maturity, many of them with their families. Those of them who have a family are bringing the family along. So this is a massive wave of talented Greek people leaving the country. And we know that Europe is the primary destination. US and Canada follow, and then there are Gulf countries and Australia. And UK is the most favorite country. And this is, I mean, this is something that you all know in a way, but this is also documented in our research. It's interesting to look at the reasons that they claim that the reasons that, according to the people who already left the country, drove them to leave the country. And it's not only finances. One would think that financial reasons, financial motives, were the ones that would drive them to leave. But interestingly, the first one is corruption and lack of meritocracy in Greece. Nearly 1 out of 2 people who were asked this question said that this was their main motive. Financial crisis and insecurity in general is following. Better career opportunities abroad is at 30%, and the prospect of a higher salary for themselves, that is a more personal motive, is the final one. But this 48%, this 1 out of 2 who decides to leave the country seeking better conditions for living, is really something that we need to discuss further. Additional reasons are a way of, many people who have left the country have viewed their leaving as a way to protest against chronic malfunctions of Greek society, lack of equality, and the collapse of social political institutions. This is a reaction to inequity, starting out with the system of taxation in Greece, what they term as an overall lack of opportunity, and the shrinking of middle class during the fiscal crisis. Now, there are people, though, who have decided to return to the country in these years. As things are becoming more stable, as we seem to be moving beyond the crisis, there are some people who have decided to try and go back to Greece and return to their home country. And it's interesting to look at the reasons that make them take the trip backwards. Number one is love for Greece. It's a qualitative indication, but it's something that appears, it's the number one reason that they give for returning. The second one is starting a family. Those who are single when they leave the country and they are at the time of starting a family would rather go back home and be with their extended family and nest there. Securing a suitable job, those of them who have tried to find a job that was good enough to bring them back home do so when they get the chance. Taking care of aging parents, because demographics have to do with those subtle needs of everyday life as well. The low cost of living in Greece, because people who have a better salary in countries like the UK but live in a more expensive environment are thinking about or contemplating returning. And a Greek education for their children, which is a very interesting fact. Greeks who were forced one way or another to leave the country want to go back home because they think that a Greek upbringing is important for them. It's part of the Greek DNA. And then there are people who are still abroad and they're contemplating returning. And here are the reasons that might tempt them to go back home. Family reasons, again. Lifestyle, climate, and a generic nostalgia for Greece. The the hope that they might find in Greece this time a better salary and better working conditions than the ones they find in the country where they currently reside. The prospect of recognized or of having the experience gained abroad being recognized in Greece, that is, returning as victors in a way after a personal fight, is another criterion. The improved overall financial situation in Greece, and I hope Mr. Kyriannakis will talk to us more about that. A change in outlook, meaning business culture, transparency, meritocracy, all those reasons that force these people to live in the first place. And finally, help with family and children, because the family is something that keeps returning in the conversation. It's a major part of this conversation. Now, if we want to find ways to tempt these people to go back, to come back to Greece, there are obviously things that we must do and things that reverse the situation and change the reasons that made these people leave. And as we're talking, all these people, this nearly half a million of Greeks who left the country, are not people who they have several things in common, but we should think of them as individuals with different personal stories, different incentives for leaving. And we ought to identify reasons that would attract different groups of people among them to return. And I have grouped them in three main, I propose three groups. First are the people, skilled people who left the country looking for a better job. So these, I assume, would return to Greece if Greece could offer them a variety of new and highly paid jobs, so a variety of working positions with a good salary. A change of business culture in the Greek market. Remember that meritocracy and lack of transparency are key reasons for them to leave. A competitive working environment on a par with international standards, and this is salary benefits, but this is also working conditions, and opportunities for professional growth and advancement, because many of them thought that they were stuck in Greece in the first place and left the country looking for better conditions. Then there is a second group of people, those who left because they wanted to start a business of their own. This is, apparently this is not as large a percentage as one would think, according to research, but entrepreneurs have their own standards and their own needs. So in order for them to return, we would need to be able to provide them as a country lower taxation and lower social security, a stable tax regime, and this is something that also applies for investors because we need to attract investors in order to promote entrepreneurship, access to funding and finance, changes in the legal framework, stability is key here as well, both in legal and financial environment, and reduce bureaucracy because not only the cost of starting a business in Greece, but the procedures of starting a business have been hassling many Greeks for many years. And one should also think here about the cost and hassle of deciding to close a business, which might take for ages. So we need to make this easy for them and attractive for them if we want to inspire them to come back to Greece and start a business of their own. And then there is a third category, researchers, scholars, people who are working in academia or in research centers who need to see other changes in order to return. Starting with opportunities for cutting-edge research in all fields, there's something missing there, access to funding for doctoral and postdoctoral research in Greece, changes in the legal framework, because apparently in order for a researcher to attract funding and use funding to further research in Greece, one has to be a member of an academic institution. So not anyone, not any scholar, in other words, independent scholars cannot have access to funding or cannot use funding as they would like to. Also pairing academic research with the market, because many of these people are bright and are thriving in the country they're currently living in, but in Greece, sometimes it seems that academic research goes in one way and entrepreneurship or business goes in another way. And one has to find a way to pair the two. And this brings us to the very last one, which is exploitation of IP, intellectual property. I mean, we need more patents. There are great ideas that are being developed in academic environments, but very few of them find a way in the market because the framework is so hard to penetrate. I mean, things are so hard to change. So we have to find a way not only to attract, not only to fund these things, but to promote good ideas and merge what happens in an academic environment with what the market needs. Now, who's responsible for changing? One would easily say politicians. Politics is certainly, and policymakers have a great deal of responsibility for that, and they have a lot to do. But all of us active citizens and all of us in groupings of a variety of groupings have something to do about that. And there are several interesting initiatives that have emerged in the country in the past years, initiatives like Brain Regain or Brain Gain, that are independent private initiatives. State initiatives like Knowledge Bridges, that is something that was instituted by the National Research Foundation. The Hellenic Foundation for Research and Innovation, which emerged 2 years ago, and it's providing funding for young researchers and tries to help them relocate back to Greece. And it has, in 2 years, it has attracted many people who want to go back to Greece. And this is an initiative of the previous government that is supported by the current government as well and is furthered by it because it was something that was very much needed in Greece. Then there are funding, sources of funding, like Equifund, which has been broken down into 9 distinctive funds in Greece, and all of them are supporting new businesses, to the establishment and the scaling of new businesses. Access to funding is very, very important for people who want to risk again and go back to their home place. And there is also a number of initiatives supporting small businesses. What Angela will talk to you about is one of them. And we at the Athanasios Laskaridis Foundation also have a case of our own, and this is the People's Trust. This is a non-profit organization that financially supports very small businesses, new and existing ones. It was established in the heart of the crisis, aiming to relieve unemployment through entrepreneurship. And in 4 years of its operation, it has supported over 250 businesses and has helped create over 550 new jobs. And we provide funding at early stages and also free business development services and networking opportunities to entrepreneurs. And this is one of several good cases and best practices. We're proud of the People's Trust because we have worked in the real economy and we have helped people who would otherwise not find their way in the market. And we're very happy because this is proving every day that its value every day, but at the same time because this is one of many initiatives and many of us work together in order to maximize the effect. Working together has not been one of the strong points of our country, unfortunately, but at a time of crisis, we need to find ways to supplement one another and create something that's much bigger than us. And with that, I would like to leave you. And this is a last quote from Leonidas Kavakos, the famous musician who just 10 days ago gave a brilliant interview for Kathimerini, talking about the crisis and stating that it's as if we didn't understand anything, that something so big happened to all of us, and we didn't realize that this was not only a matter of finances, it was a much bigger crisis, and it was something that ought to make us think how we can rebuild society starting on a better basis. So let's leave it to this, and I hope we'll have more space for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for inviting us here today. So for those who don't know about Reload, we are an organization based here in the UK. We are a UK-registered charity built 7 years ago in the heart of the Greek financial crisis, very much to help reverse the problems that existed in Greece through entrepreneurship. So successfully harnessing the power of the diaspora to reverse the consequences of brain drain is key to our mission and to the model of entrepreneurship that we have built within Reload Greece. So, Reload Greece is a small team of four at the moment that have been in operation for the last 7 years, and we have helped a number of companies, Greeks and non-Greeks, to help the Greek economy. And I'll tell you how we've done that. But before we start talking about this, we also heard from Angeliki the number of people that have left Greece. And we said more than 450,000 people, the last that has been counted. And certainly Kathimerini had a very nice article on brain drain. I don't know if you all read it. It was a couple of months ago. And Reload Greece and a number of other initiatives have been covered. So it is shocking to see that in Greece, 50 billion euros have been lost from these talents that have left Greece. And certainly the unemployment has been huge compared to the UK unemployment that has been only below 4%. So we founded Reload Greece with the premises to reverse that only through entrepreneurship. But as I will tell you further down, we are looking to other opportunities to harness that through the pool of contacts that we have developed. So what does Reload Greece do? Basically, what we do is it's three things. We connect the diaspora with our organization, and we help them to establish connections with Greece. We realize that a lot of Greeks that lived abroad many years, they feel homesick. They wanted, as Angeliki said, they wanted to connect with Greece in one way or another. And there wasn't, at the time at least, there wasn't an organization to help them to create this bridge with Greece. So Reload Greece built this bridge. Little by little. What we also started doing is we started educating the young entrepreneurs through our accelerator programs. We develop a number of accelerator programs. We run it here in the UK. We also go to a number of universities in the UK and abroad. And finally, with the help of the diaspora, with the help of our mentors and the creative minds that we have learned through our networks, we develop these ventures and we help them create sustainable businesses and create employment in Greece. So it's quite interesting because a lot of the entrepreneurs that have developed businesses in Greece, they lack the opportunities, as we've heard before, of investments. There is not a lot of interest from external funding to arrive in Greece. So with the help of Reload Greece, they get to be in front of angel investors that happen to be the Equifunds that we know that we're very well connected, but also the angel investment community here in the UK. So what we do, our programs are a variety of programs, but the key ones are certainly our conference that happens every year, and we bring together academics, professionals. We had investors coming from the Silicon Valley, from Japan, from the UK, from Belgium, from Greece, all coming to speak about entrepreneurship. We also had sector experts, and the reason we had the sector experts is because we want to enlighten these entrepreneurs with new ideas so that they can embed them into their venture creations. We also have a pre-accelerator program, and this is very much entitled for people that have early stage idea, not yet an MVP, but they are looking to come and create an idea and put them together with various entrepreneurs that would like to create a venture. And we do that by going to a number of universities I mentioned in the UK, in the Netherlands, and this year we also went to Cyprus in collaboration with an accelerator program over there. We also learn that a lot of organizations, like institutions, like financial institutions in Greece, they would like them to their own programs of accelerator programs that they have. They would like them to introduce them to the UK ecosystem. And why is that? To create this international mindset, because certainly staying in Greece is great, but then they don't have the opportunity to connect with this investor community and the UK ecosystem. So Eurobank was one of our program requirements that to create a bespoke program just for their startups. And finally, we have the RG Challenge, which is an intense 11 days accelerator program entitled for those who have already an MVP and they're very much looking to raise the first round of investments. So I give you this as a highlight for you to understand what Reload Greece does, because perhaps some of you might have not heard of the organization before. So an impact, which is, we are very proud of this impact, and as well of other organizations that we collaborate in Greece. We have 125 startups, and just imagine the number of people that work in these startups have gone through our program. Some of those have raised a huge amount of money. We have one individual startup that I will mention down the line. They've raised 4 million. Of these 10 million that you see here, 4 million is one of our startups, and we are very proud of them. They have an establishment here in Cambridge as well as an establishment back in Greece, so they're looking to expand. So we're very proud because this gives a positive economic impact in Greece as well as employment. As you can see, 72% of the startups that went through our programs, they basically 72% is an impact positively in Greece. We say 5,000 plus have been educated through our programs, and our community, which is an impressive community of 20,000 people, and hopefully with today's presentations, we're going to have more of you. So that's a highlight of what we do.
I feel alive when I'm with these guys. I get up in the morning and I mingle with people that dream and want to achieve and want to change. And look here, this is amazing. And we have entrepreneurs, we have also people from the diaspora and wealthy people that are interested to make a difference. So we put all together and this is priceless. So the impact can be huge.
The RG Challenge 11 days, they were intense. I can say that we live with a different mindset, and that's the most important part. The mentors were great, they pushed to the limits.
It was great to be giving back to my country. It was very inspiring to see their passion and going after for the dream. I found RG Challenge an amazing experience. It was like a mini MBA in 11 days. I found it very intellectually stimulating, energizing, and inspiring, actually.
RG YEP is a door to success. That's the first step for every entrepreneur that wants to progress their idea.
I love mentoring for Reload Greece because it gave me the chance to meet great people that have great ideas.
To develop a long-term sustainable ecosystem in Greece, you need a lot of different ingredients, and events such as RG Connect enable to bring all of the different players within the ecosystem together.
We're bringing the community together, and this is what Reload Greece is all about, and this is what today is all about, inspiring people to feel that they can really drive the change that they want to see in their communities.
It was a perfect opportunity because it matched with our ambition to build bridges between the Athenian and Greek ecosystem with the UK and London one.
I think what Reload Greece and the organization do is amazing. It's truly, truly amazing, and it's very much needed in the Greek youth these days to really help them take their ideas and move them to the next stage.
It really shows you that people are interested in supporting you, and there's a huge community of people who will do that without any interest per se. They just want to help, and that's amazing to see when we're trying to reload Greece.
So you've seen it from also the participants, how they feel going through our programs, and hopefully that inspired you as well to join our programs, as well as to mentor within our programs. So I have very few minutes left, so therefore I would like to close in saying that yes, Reload Greece is one angle through which we can help Greece with entrepreneurship, but certainly we are not the only ones, and the government is another area for which it needs to help, but also ourselves, we need to do, every single person within the community should help to reverse the brain drain. But a few things that we believe should happen is that the foundations of helping Greece to invite people back should be improved so that they could help. There you go, my time is over. So it's important that the whole culture of entrepreneurship should change in Greece, but also the packages, the incentives to invite Greeks to come back. The whole infrastructure, as I mentioned, is important to change. And the platforms, a platform should be created, as I have seen from Angeliki's presentation, that will connect the Greeks that return in Greece, and also that will connect them to help each other, as well connect them with the government, because the government might take ideas from these best practices that these Greeks have learned from abroad. So I really hope that that was an interesting presentation for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's great to be here in London. Don't come here very often, so I see it's always raining. It was actually very interesting to hear from both Angela and Angeliki all these initiatives that you're organizing, and I couldn't agree more with you, Angeliki, on the very fact that in Greece we don't work together. I myself have co-founded an initiative called Brain Gain, aiming at the same thing that all our initiatives are aiming at, and it's actually the first time that we speak together on the same panel, which is a shame. But what is not a shame, and what makes me feel more optimistic, is that for the first time I feel, and perhaps some of you can agree with me, that we have a wind of change in Greece. And there is there's a new government that actually makes young people abroad feel more optimistic about coming back. I have a lot of friends who have already made their way back in Greece. Some of them are also here in this audience. And many more are thinking about coming back. And this makes us feel in the New Democracy government that we need to work much harder in creating the a friendly environment for all of you and for all of these people, the 420,000 people, that even more, I think, new studies show that 600,000 are now the brain drain generation. And I hope that that we can do things so that most of them can come back and contribute to the Greek economy and contribute to Greece's future. So how I see this future working inside a government that at least gives in these initial months a sense of optimism to the generation, in my view. Well, first of all, let's not kid ourselves. It's the economic climate that changes the perception. And we were in Washington, D.C. last week with a couple of ministers from the Greek government. For the first time, I heard someone representing Greece asking investors to come and invest their money, not for patriotic reasons, not because Greece is nice and you need to like us or be friends with us, but because we create an environment that can actually help you make money. We created and we keep creating a pro-business, a business-friendly environment that can make any company that will come and invest their money to be profitable. And watching in your presentation, Angeliki, if I'm not mistaken, that one of the main reasons that would lead young Greeks come back to the country that they love so much is business opportunities. There was a report by the World Bank just 2 weeks ago. There's this index, it's called Doing Business. Okay, it comes out every year. For the first time, Greece is number one in Europe and number 11 in the world. Now, this might be hard to believe for some of us, even for me. And just having a report, of course, doesn't mean we completed our work. But there was a bill of 700 pages that was passed 2 weeks ago by the Minister of Development and Growth, Mr. Adonis Georgiadis, that creates a pro-business environment that actually makes it easy for someone to create a business in Greece in just 2 days. So this is one of the first changes that we worked on, and I think a clear message from all of us, both to young Greeks but also to foreign investors who want to come back to the country or invest in the country, is that Greece is back in business, and we ask all of you to come back, not for patriotic reasons, but because there are real opportunities coming ahead. So that's my first point. Secondly, I'd like to comment just on a figure presented just before. 50 million euros are created in GDP abroad by young Greeks belonging to the generation of brain drain. Is that correct? That was a figure from you, Angela, yes. So this is correct if you see the figures of GDP created by young Greeks abroad. But would they create the same amount of value if they would stay in Greece? Absolutely not. So for us, it's very important for everyone who comes back in the country, not just make it easy through relocation services, as mentioned before, but it's very important for us if someone comes and works in a foreign business that now comes in Greece and invests, to feel the value of their own work and to feel that their personal value is recognized. As you have seen in the presentation, meritocracy and values are the number one reason for people leaving the country, and I believe they will be the number one reason for coming back. We have done our own research with Brain Gain, our nonpartisan initiative. About half of the Greeks being interviewed, said that they would come back with a 50% wage cut. They would accept a 50% wage cut, which is huge, if you think about it. But the quality of life in Greece, perhaps family values, other values, are important. Number one, in my opinion, is meritocracy. And for all of those, for all of you who follow Greek news, perhaps this is not the perfect week to speak about meritocracy in Greece, but we are committed, and many people in the Nea Dimokratia government are committed to work very hard to reestablish this trust of young Greeks who left the country about the new face of the government and the country as a whole when it comes to the private sector, the public sector, the media, politics, justice, everything. So in my opinion, and I think we can discuss this in our conversation, in my opinion, the best way to change the mentality of our country, We all had conversations about the bad mentality of the neo-Hellenes. Okay? The best way to change this mentality is by young Greeks who left the country and changed their own personal mentality to come back and take some key roles in politics, in the public sector, in the private sector, in banks, in media, in all the key sectors that shape who we are as a society. So government policies are important. We can talk forever about specific things that the government can do and must do to bring back the brain drain generation. We work very hard right now with Brain Gain on a platform that will be called Find a Job in Greece. So we will connect, we will do a marketplace. We will connect Greek businesses or foreign businesses based in Greece who want to hire Greeks with international experience. And all of you and people abroad, people in the United States, in Australia, in Europe, who want to come back and want to find a decent job. So this will be presented in the end of January. We do it with a website called workenter.gr. It's the largest website to find a job in Greece. And we also work together with Mr. Daskalakis, professor in MIT, another organization, on a very ambitious project. What is this project? It's called, he calls it, a global center for artificial intelligence. And I think we have an opportunity in Greece with people like Konstantinos Daskalakis to be more ambitious than just aiming at the average of the EU statistics, as we always do. Let's be more ambitious and try to create a global first, a global center for artificial intelligence that can be a reference for every scientist and every business person who is interested in that sector, with the leadership of people like Daskalakis and the support of the government and the support of the private sector. Let's try to be champions in something. So this is the mentality that I want Greece to have, and I will, I think, close my presentation here with this positive note. Look forward to your questions and the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, perhaps you feel inspired, perhaps you feel, well, whatever you feel. Hopefully, you have questions to raise here. So there are colleagues with microphones as the discussion is being recorded. You may wish to go with inspiration. You may wish to challenge some of the assumptions or whatever. But if our speakers permit me, I'm going to take questions in groups, and then you don't necessarily feel obliged to answer each question. Can we take the gentleman here, please?
Hello,
could
thank
you. Just say who you are?
Yeah. My name is Alexandros Zachariadis. I am a PhD student in the International Relations Department. First, I'd like to ask Mr. Kiranakis about a statistic that he mentioned. He said that based on the World Bank's research, Greece has an 11 mark on the doing business parameter, but there's a 79 rank in the world business, which is quite low, so it's quite back in terms of other European economies. Second, I'd like to ask, how does he think, as a member of government, would the diaspora and the brain gain generation would feel when they see that the government is backtracking in important money laundering and fraud corruption legislation, according to a Financial Times article later that week? And finally, most of the taxation measures that have been introduced in the legislation that you have called on development are focusing on the tourist sector and on the real estate sector, and have also tackled collective bargaining relationships. So how does the New Democracy government will create better working conditions for individuals to come back to Greece? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I take it you weren't necessarily so inspired. could we just pass the microphone back to our friend here? Can you just repeat your challenge in terms of the rankings with the World Bank?
So,
just slowly.
Yes, so the World Bank doing business...
Ease of doing business
is at number 11, but the overall rank of Greece across the sectors that the World Bank's report has released is at 79, I think.
Okay.
It includes 11 variables.
Indeed.
And one of them is ease of doing business.
Okay. Other questions? Please, can we take the lady behind you here, please?
Good evening. Congratulations to all of you for your presentations. My name is Dr. Kyriaki Sonido. I'm doctor, I'm GP, you know me very well. I'm the new president of the Hellenic Medical Society of the UK, and I'm also the general secretary of a special party organization, ECHO, New Democracy UK. We are scientists, the ECHO of Scientists UK. So we are on the same side, I would say, Mr. Kyriakis. Yes. We came across a few years ago when I had the speech about brain drain with Poppy Kalaidze. So I have been working on that quite a few years, and I would like to say it's very interesting what we discussed, but practically we don't have solutions yet. Speaking in numbers, 12,700 doctors left Greece because they can't live with a decent salary in the country. And that, these are facts. And 3,200 are in UK. And I'm asking, which I asked our Prime Minister, and Professor Kevin Featherstone was there when I asked him, we don't have meritocracy. We are not appraised. We are not having a revalidation. We are still behind, and our culture is not to accept controls, not to accept appraisals, not to accept someone who has worked really hard abroad. We go back and they speak to us, well, who do you think that you are? Because you work there, you know everything, and we know that will be very, very difficult and challenging to change, and these are facts. So I'm just wondering, though I would really like to be one of the doctors who will go back, how is doctors going to live with 1,500 euros a month? How are we going to create conditions for those doctors to return? Half of them, one third of them. How are we going to create better environment of work? How are we going to make things work?
Okay.
Thank you.
That's good. We get that. Applause for a question. Here, please.
Thank you. My name is Nicholas Vagionis. I'm an economist, and I had my PhD from this school about 35 years ago. So anyway, this experience has taught me that preventing is always easier than healing. So in these lines, I would like first to see the concrete measures that would lead to stop or curb brain drain before we start talking about brain gain. Because if we see continuing trends of people not having enough business work opportunities mm-hmm. in our country, if we see that we still keep losing the best qualified scientists and so on, how can we just aspire to regain people that are already here established? They have contracts, they have scholarships, they have business, they have offices, they have career opportunities, they have health system, they have insurance schemes, they have mortgages and everything.
Okay.
And get them back in, since we lose people that have nothing. And we lose them. We cannot offer a decent employment life in people that don't have anything. How can we attract the people that already have something? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Perhaps then if we invite our speakers to respond, perhaps if we go in the order that you spoke. Angeliki, would you like to pick up on any particular points?
Sure. Starting with the last one, with your last question, I think that you made a great point there about reversing brain drain at the spot before starting to attract people back. To me, a question like that always has like the who parameter in it. Someone has to do it, and not one of them has to do it. So again, it's a matter of synergies for me. What we have tried to do at the People's Trust, for instance, is create more jobs, because we talk, I mean, youth unemployment in Greece is at the highest percentage in the European Union. I mean, it's close to 48%. It's huge, and it's a very pessimistic percentage. So when we don't have jobs, we have to create jobs. So we have to go about the problem and see if there's any way we can tackle it. And I don't think that this is only a matter of the government. This is a matter of the general climate, and all of us have something to do there. So I don't think that this is a phenomenon that can be reversed in horizontally, but many of us have to do certain things in order to do it. And I think that a first thing would be to really work collectively. We've heard so many interesting things now, and we are just three people representing different causes, and there are many other causes out there, and we have to find a way to really work together and invest in finding solutions and working with the government and not against the government to do so. I don't think that, you know, that such a multi-level problem can be solved by one, by one entity alone. I don't know if Mr. Giranakis is of a different opinion.
Okay. Angela?
I would like to agree on Angeliki's point. Collaboration is key for anything to happen, and even for us as an organization, being abroad, we are quite an alien, actually, institution. The fact that we are helping Greece from abroad, we needed to collaborate with institutions, and now we're also talking with the Greek government to see how we can collaborate more strongly. But as institutions, it's, as you mentioned as well in your talk, it's the first time we're sitting together. And maybe this type of round table should happen more often so that we can indeed help to reverse the problem that is happening, and basically not try to dilute by bringing the talents and dilute the problem that exists, but try to collaborate and create the right infrastructure for the doctors to come back and have the right salaries or the right system to be monitored and to feel safe to share how they feel. And as well, for as you mentioned, the conditions should be better. Yes, we all agree, but it's not one power, it's a collective power.
Okay, but I took the questions to be asking for a concrete measure, some concrete action. We could have the discussion again. You could collaborate amongst each other. But if you were asked for one specific action, perhaps both for Angeliki and Angela, if you asked for one specific change you would like the government to do, just in one sentence, what would that be?
Changes, Angeliki. Changes in taxation would be key for me.
Angela?
I would like to say taxation is key to invite investment, but as well culture. For me, it's culture.
Okay.
Everything starts from that.
And how do we change culture?
It starts from early years. It's
okay.
From school. You don't leave it at university level to create entrepreneurship or to create this mindset of openness.
Okay.
So culture starts from home and school.
Okay, thanks. Constantino, there was a question about
the
government and meritocracy.
Yes, I'll start from the last point on culture. I think the specific way to change, in my view, the culture in Greece is by some of you coming back and taking key positions, as I said before in my initial presentation. Education is important. And getting entrepreneurship in school programs and all of that, it's already happening. It's important. It creates a shift in early age mentality. But if we don't change the role models of the Greek economy and the Greek society, culture will not change.
Okay.
So people with a different personal culture for themselves, they need to come back in Greece and take an important role in whatever business or other sector they will be active in.
But in the recent past, they decided to leave Greece for some specific reasons, one of which was highlighted in terms of the survey, lack of meritocracy.
Yes.
So what change in Greece would you say was crucial to get them back? They've decided to leave. Why should they come back if you're not changing?
Yes, so that comes to the question of our friend Kyriaki, sitting in the back. And I would like to ask her a question. Would you come back and become a director of a public hospital in Greece?
Well, let's not have a dialogue here because there's lots of people.
No, but this is the point. It's real.
I suspect Kyriaki is not 82 years old, so may not qualify precisely.
But I would like to hear an answer.
No. If you answer. Make your presentation, we can't have a dialogue between two people. We need to have a collective.
Okay, so I'll just have to guess your answer.
Okay.
And because I asked many people if they would come back to Greece for a role in the public sector.
It would be great if you could give your answer.
And the answer is no.
What? That she wouldn't come back to Greece?
To become director of a public hospital and make her serve.
Okay, sorry.
My point is.
I'm sorry, there is no point in having a bilateral discussion on whether one individual would return to Greece. I think the audience is waiting for some concrete ideas of how you would propose Greece would change in order to attract people back. Am I right?
So my point is that we have to change the circumstances and the criteria and the wage and the responsibilities that someone in a position like that, for example, the director of a public hospital, has. The wage right now is very low. It needs to become higher. If it becomes higher, some people in Greece or outside Greece will say, this is scandalous. Why are you giving more money to public servants? Responsibilities are very high. This means that if you sign for certain actions of the hospital that you're obliged to sign, otherwise the hospital doesn't function, then you might end up in court because someone will sue you with a legal or without a legal basis. And this is a disincentive for someone like Kyriaki coming back and getting a key position in the public sector, whether it is a public hospital or something else. So a concrete measure would be that, first of all, the wages need to be much higher for positions with responsibilities like this. And secondly, a legal framework that is protective for people who will come back and they will put their energy and their talent into a position like this because they love Greece, because they want to change Greece for all these reasons. So so this is my answer to Angeliki. And of course, I think that what happened this week with one specific pick for a public hospital is a mistake. This is why the government in less than 24 hours corrected that mistake, but this doesn't change the fact that 80% of the other directors of public hospitals have, for the first time, PhDs, they have master's degrees, they were selected with certain criteria that symbolize meritocracy to a very large extent. Now, on the question...
Money laundering.
Well, first of all, I understand you didn't challenge my my point, the figures I presented. You actually confirmed them because my figures were only about the metrics on the ease of doing business index of starting a business. I have a report in front of me. It says doing business 2020. So ease of doing business 2020. Maybe the website is wrong, but I have it in front of me. So this is an important figure, my friend. I was 5 or 6 years ago in the office of the Irish Taoiseach, Enda Kenny was in office back then. Back then, Ireland was number one in the world in this metric. He had this in a very big frame in his office, and he told us how proud he was about this achievement. I'm not saying our work is complete, and I'm not saying that I'm happy with the overall ranking on Greece being 79, but I'm saying that it's a step in the right direction. It's a big step. It's bigger than most people expected. So this is number one. On money laundering, I suspect you're referring to the Financial Times article on the 18 months requirement about people who have their... So what's the term now?
Their assets.
Their assets being frozen.
Yes.
Okay. So That article partly was wrong. There was a debate about this in the Greek parliament just a few days ago. Former Prime Minister Tsipras brought up your point. Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis answered to this. There were several parts of this article that were false. We sent a letter to the Financial Times requested to change or correct if they want to their article. I didn't follow up on this. But what this whole legislation was about, first of all, it was a change on the criminal code. Okay, there were certain aspects of the criminal code that created a very difficult environment for business in Greece. So if someone, for example you come to Greece, you're an investor, and I sue you on a wrong basis, on a wrong legal basis, and the prosecutor decides that your assets need to be frozen on a wrong legal basis for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, this is a disincentive for you to come to Greece and invest your money. I'm not saying there's a perfect solution that works for everyone, and it's good to have a critique on every measure that this government passes as legislation, but we need to find a solution here to make Greece a pro-business environment, and this is a measure that aimed at this point. Now, if there are specific changes that we can do to make this better, let's hear it and let's make it happen.
Okay.
And on taxation, because you asked for it, corporate tax for 2019 from 28% went down to 24%. Next year will be 20%. So it's not just housing. On housing, we will have a 0% VAT policy for 3 years, so that hopefully this can generate growth. I don't know if you wanted
okay.
to go into
we're
details
short
on taxation.
So let's take some more questions. First of all, the gentleman here, please.
Hi, my name is Stratos Mavroyanis. I'm a risk consulting associate at Moody's Analytics, working around risk areas for banks across Europe, Middle East, Greece, Africa, and the US. Thank you for all of your points. I think you touched on really important points: entrepreneurship, the nostalgia we feel for Greece, and the frameworks. And you answered some of the questions. My question is, you mentioned lower taxation, more jobs, more companies, and a legal system. But these feel like point-in-time measures. Today we will do them, and 6 months later, 1 year later, maybe 4 years later, another government will come and change them. This has been happening in Greece continuously. So investors lose trust to actually bring the business, because we are a cheap country to bring business. So the question is, how can you work together and establish a framework that is solid to keep this trust for more than 10 years.
Okay, thank you. Other questions, gentlemen in the center?
Hello, everybody. First of all, I would like to thank Konstantinos, Angelique, and Angela for the interesting speeches before. My name is Dimitris Zanidakis. I'm an MSc student in UCL, in European politics. And I have a question for Konstantinos. We mentioned before the meritocracy, the lack of meritocracy. We mentioned the austerity. We mentioned the crisis. We didn't mention the general atmosphere of misery in Greece for many years. And I think that the party of Syriza for 5 years increased this phenomenon. I would like to ask Konstantinos, do you think that new democracy, the government now, can change many things in practice? And if yes, how many years should New Democracy govern to change, in reality, many things in Greece? Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, that's not a very specific question. Here, please. Could you just wait for the microphone?
My name is Nicole Arini. I'm a social worker and sociologist. I would like to ask Mr. Kyriannakis, because he mentioned friendly environment and a friendly legal framework. So recently, we saw the parliament rejecting an amendment to the constitution that would protect the rights of LGBTQ people. which are not protected. There's no equality for them in Greece. That is also endorsed by the church that still has power and influence both in even legislations in the 21st century, for crying out loud, and public opinion. So there are many people who leave Greece exactly because the environment is not culturally friendly. And so we have also had Mr. Voridis speaking in favor of police violence. So how does this exactly make a friendly environment? And how does endorsing these conservative orthodox Christian values go hand in hand with a liberal economy? I just don't.
Okay, good. Thanks. If we could take the two people with their hands up. The first gentleman there, thanks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alexandros, and I work in the tech sector in London. I have a question for Mr. Kyriannakis. I wonder whether another reason why people leave Greece is because we're producing people that we cannot absorb. I think at the moment...
Sorry, it's because?
We are producing professionals that we cannot absorb.
Right.
So I think at the moment we have 7 medical schools in Greece. I think we have 3 or 4. We have 3 law schools and we wanted to open a 4th one. If all these people cannot be absorbed in Greece, even if we change everything else, these people will need to go somewhere else to find work. So do you think that's a challenge, and do we need to revise mm-hmm. our university system?
Okay. Person behind you.
Hi, I'm Dimitris Stavropoulos. I'm a law graduate, and I'm also a graduate of the European School as well. My question is directed to Kyriannakis, but it's open to anyone to answer, really. There was some mention about changes in the legal framework and incentives to help entrepreneurs in Greece, but usually in the past, this focused more on traditional industries like real estate or tourism. I want to know specific examples of new incentives or new changes in the law that would improve conditions or offer new opportunities to enterprises that focus on fintech or legal tech, for example. Thank you.
Okay, let's take one more question here, if we may.
The answers will be long.
Hello, my name is Georgios Piriadis. I'm working for tax department for HMRC. And I have questions because we raised a lot of stuff about taxation and changes and stuff like that. So at the moment, UK is leading a program for United Arab Emirates, how to get the taxation there. And it's very formal at the moment, so I'm part of that. Is Greece, you know, take any chance to speak with other countries or take people from other taxation areas and bring it to Greece to show how it works here and it's not work there?
Okay, good. We are going to be short of time. We have 8 minutes, so we need precise answers. We know that you all have inspirational stories to tell us, but just precise answers, please. Perhaps if we could start in the same sequence, because a number of the questions were to Konstantinos. So let's give Konstantinos the last word. Angeliki, anything you want to pick up on?
Sure. First of all, regarding taxation, I don't know if I think the change we need to see as an institution that supports new businesses is a horizontal change. We give microgrants. We provide microgrants of up to 10,000 per person per enterprise, and we know that 65 to 70% of that goes back to the state within the same year. So, although we have come up with this very simple idea of helping people create jobs, a big portion of this donation goes back to the state, and this is not very conducive to a healthy entrepreneurial environment. So I think that changes must be horizontal changes for all sectors. And then regarding meritocracy, lack of meritocracy, this is something that is very high in the all statistics. What do we need to do? How does one reverse such a situation? You need experienced people who are well fit for the job, for any job, who are invited to do what they're best at doing, and they're provided with some time, not ample time necessarily, but some time, a good salary, and freedom in order to change things. Because selecting the right person for the job without providing time, freedom, and without letting them work in peace for a while is not going to bring results as expected. So I think that it's a systemic thing. So if we want to solve things, we have to think of a number of parameters, because bringing them back is one thing, but helping them thrive and give something back to the country is a completely different thing. So it's not only a matter of selection. We have a selection procedure. We have ASEP, for instance, and ASEP has worked. So there is a way for the country to support good choices, but this apparently is not enough. We need, again, a thriving environment.
Okay, Angela?
I touch some of the points about trust. In finance, we call that confidence, the confidence that you build. And this is not done through overnight. And any government, that being that one or any other, it needs time to build this trust, this confidence in the market. So yes, I think this will take time to, that will be my answer to you. And I hope that the foundations that this government or and the energy that they are putting, hopefully that will bring some positivity that will last not only for today, but also for the future. So then there was another question about, we are creating, people are studying the same roles and we don't have the opportunity to absorb this talent. And this is true. And I think it's down to the families and the infrastructure that we've built as a country, everybody becoming doctors, lawyers. There are other opportunities that we can teach our kids, that it's not only to become a doctor or a lawyer, but you can also become an entrepreneur. So it starts from the foundations of school and the family to then be able to absorb other talents, not only the talents that have left and are highly educated. Yet certainly the infrastructure, in my view, needs to change, so there is less bureaucracy. So if I were to return to Greece, I would love to have less paperwork to fill in. So hopefully this will happen and my dream will come true. So best practices, coming to your point, best practices, I think this is an excellent topic you touched. I think as we see the new government, hopefully they are going in different jurisdictions to learn from others, and hopefully taxation will be the key thing to incentivize investors and as well entrepreneurs to come back.
Constantino, several questions.
How much
for you.
Time do I have?
You have 3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay. All right, so number one, confidence by investors and the 10-year policy. I agree with you. There's a commitment for now by Kyriakos Mitsotakis on a 5-year policy. So this commitment was announced last year at the Thessaloniki Fair, the annual fair. Because we're going to vote on lower taxation next year, the commitment is supposed to start after next year's for the next 5 years. So on your question about another government coming after Nea Dimokratia, well, the answer is simple. Don't vote for another government. this is the story all around the world. In the United States, which is oftentimes a point of reference, there was a Republican administration, there was a Democrat administration, and a very inspiring president, Obama, who brought a policy that was called Obamacare and completely changed the labor laws and the labor work situation. So, this is democracy. We're not China. This is the shortest answer that I could give. So misery in Greece, that's a long conversation. I don't think I can answer that in less than a minute. What I can say is that we need more people in politics and in media who are optimistic and ambitious. So if the public, the voters, people inside and outside the country listen to people, listen to politicians who say bad things about Greece, they will probably not come back. If they listen to politicians and leaders who say good things about Greece and good things that they want to do for Greece, then there's a higher possibility
for young people to come back and feel more optimistic about the country. Now, on your question about the constitutional changes on LGBT rights, LGBT... Sorry?
Human rights in general.
Human rights are fully protected by the Greek constitution, and there are specific laws protecting also LGBT rights. Now, if we want the content of the existing laws about LGBT rights going also in the constitution, this is a different conversation. We can have it, but let's not pretend that an LGBT right is not protected if it's not on the, in the constitution. There is legislation about this. It's in my opinion, strong. It can be stronger. This is debatable. But just by the fact that it was not voted in the Constitution, it doesn't mean that it doesn't protect LGBT rights. On police violence, I want to ask you a question.
No rhetorical things, again, please.
If you throw a Molotov bomb right outside the LSE, will the police project some violence or not?
We know that when we talk about police violence in Greece, we don't talk only about that.
I want Greek universities to look like the LSE. Clean, normal, modern, with normal things.
Okay.
I don't want...
Okay.
I don't want the ASOE University being the headquarters for creating Molotov bombs. Okay, universities are not the place for that.
Okay.
So this is on your question.
If I could just add to this, then
just let me conclude.
No. If I could just add to the point, it's a discussion at the LSE. I took the point to be that. Some illiberal aspects in Greece were themselves an impediment to diasporic Greeks thinking of returning. Aspects in terms of liberal laws, but also perhaps specifically, you may wish to comment on some of the international news that came as a result of your comment about the refugee camp and your support for Greeks who would have souvlaki next to a Muslim refugee camp. So I took the comment to be one of a concern about illiberalism. How would you respond to that?
So now we have more time.
You have. I'm sure you've got a nice crisp answer.
Fine with me. Okay, do you want me to answer your question first or the gentleman's?
If you answer
your question first. Absolutely. First of all, it's the first time I hear there were international reactions about this controversy.
Is
that correct?
It got quite a lot of attention.
Okay, didn't know that. So what happened 2 weeks ago in the committee in Parliament that was discussing changes in the criminal code? This was the context of the discussion. There was an elected member of parliament representing Syriza who actually suggested that, without giving a specific example of the event that took place last Sunday or two Sundays ago, that everyone who cooks souvlaki or drinks beer close by... Sorry?
Okay, that's very generous. Thank you.
Okay, so that was his general suggestion for a change in the criminal code. The very fact that proves that this statement was hypocritical is that Syriza actually never came with a proposition for a specific change in the criminal code. It was just perhaps to make some advertisement for the event in Thessaloniki, in Diavata. So my reaction was explicitly about the discussion we had on the criminal code. I think, as a liberal person, that to forbid cooking or drinking or consuming anything based on a religion shouldn't be discussed. And everyone has a right in Greece and in Europe to consume whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want. This was my point. Now, okay. Some media, for their own reasons, and some politicians also for their own personal reasons, wanted to connect my general statement with some event I didn't know about in Diavata.
Okay.
So this is, in my view, very unfair. But from a liberal point of view, to argue that someone should limit themselves on what they're consuming or not based on a religion, I don't know. Maybe my friend from the left would agree.
That's fine. Let's move on to the next topic.
Okay. All right. Our friend over there made a very good point. It is very true that professionals, legal counsels, and doctors cannot be absorbed, at least not all of them, by the Greek labor market. And another example is that a large amount of companies actually want to hire right now computer scientists and developers and people who have the right skills, the right technological skills, and only 4% of the Greek public universities offer programs mm-hmm. on computer science. So this doesn't match, it doesn't connect. So I fully agree with you on your point. And I think if you see to our friend over there, what's your name? Yes, our friend Dimitris, who asked about fintech and legal tech. If you see the incentives that will be voted next week on companies that hire people with skills like the ones you described, you will be very happy. But our policy is horizontal. Okay, we want a low tax policy for everyone. If you're a company, if you're a person, you're a family, you have a house, low tax policy is good for everyone in our view. Okay, so there are ideas and there are programs like the one mentioned by the European Investment Bank and some other funds who are very active in Greece. The startup community is growing in Greece, but right now the most important thing is to invest on scale-ups. Companies like Workable and companies like Blueground that are thriving in the United States. Companies with an amazing amount of Greek talent that outside the country can do amazing things. These need to be the success stories and the role models mm-hmm. for the change we need to see in Greece in the upcoming years. Thank you.
Okay, we are out of time. Of course, we've covered quite a number of topics, and I'm very grateful for our speakers setting the big picture, but also responding to many of your questions. It suggests to me that this is a topic that we should return to in the future. So can you please thank our three speakers very much indeed.